The Israel Report with Rolien Marx.
Good afternoon, Rolien. How are you?
I'm good and you, but now I'm curious. What books are you reading? You can't leave me hanging like that. I mean, come on.
All right. I'll tell you quickly. The one is by a writer called James McBride. He's best known for his autobiographical book about him and his mother and his family called The Color of Water. His mother, who grew up as an Orthodox Jewish woman and the daughter of a rabbi but converted to Christianity, and him and raised him and his siblings, and that book sold a lot of copies. But the one I'm reading is one he wrote in 2016, which is called Kill 'Em and Leave, In Search of James Brown and the American Soul, which is a story about James Brown, about the man and the legend, and about how he goes all over visiting where James Brown grew up and where he became successful. And the other one I'm reading is nonfiction. It's autobiographical, but it's a bit wild. It's called Chaos Monkeys, and it's about a guy who worked in Facebook, was an advisor for Twitter, and this is basically a tell-all, spill the beans about San Francisco and Silicon Valley in that period between 2010 and 2014. It's basically a tell-all. The guy says, he names people. He says, this person helped us. This venture capitalist was great. This person was terrible. This person was not great. And the guy himself, very interesting character. I'll tell you more about it later, but those are my two books.
Sounds intriguing. And before we get onto the Israel headlines, if you do like music, I've just finished reading Steven Tyler's Do the Voices in My Head Make You Nervous? Yes, Steven, they do, but it's absolutely, it's very entertaining and, a great read, the front man of Aerosmith. But should we talk tachlis? Should we talk dugri, as we say here in the Middle East?
Let's do that, Rolien. Your first story is about Hamas and Israel. We touched on it a bit earlier, but Hamas has issued Israel with an ultimatum now.
Well, today seems to be all about the ultimatums, and the first one is issued by Hamas. They have said to Israel that if Israel does not let in Qatari funds, which there is no indication that Israel hasn't said they won't let in Qatari funds, and if they don't increase the electricity supply, which, by the way, just for anybody who's quite curious, that falls under the authority of the Palestinian Authority. They're the ones who recommend it's cutting back on the supply of electricity, just saying, then they will escalate violence along the border between Gaza and Israel. Now, in the last 2 weeks, we have seen a significant uptick in the amount of violence on the border. We discussed it a little bit yesterday when we discussed the fact that yet another attempt at a cross-border raid was foiled. The terrorists were spotted quite quickly by vigilant soldiers and eliminated. But then we also had the firing of rockets and mortars from the Gaza Strip into Israel, setting off the Tzeva Adoms and the Iron Dome, intercepting those incoming, and also appeals from communities in the south, notably Sderot, those kind of Gaza envelope communities, appealing to the government to please do something. And Netanyahu saying that just because it's an election cycle doesn't mean we won't consider some kind of military incursion. But Hamas increasing their threat today, saying that if they do not receive funding, if Israel does not comply with their demands, that the Gaza Strip is on the verge of an explosion. And I'll give you the direct quote. They have said, and this is from the mouth of Hamas, the factions have given the interlocutors a direct threat to pass along to Israel. If the enemy does not implement the understandings allowing the entry of the Qatari funds and increasing the quantity of electricity by this weekend, they will move to escalate on the ground. Now, just to remind our listeners that Hamas control the Gaza Strip. They are responsible for reining in the other elements, the other terror elements within the Strip. So, you know, it's not a threat that we're taking lightly, also in light of the fact that over the last couple of months, Hamas has tried to distance itself from any violence, from any firing of rockets, or from any attempts by Gazans to cross into Israel. So this could ignite another conflagration with Israel, between Israel and Hamas. And also, we're not naive to know that as we approach the elections, they're taking advantage of what they could see as possible distractions to launch some kind of attack.
And you talked about conflicts and ultimatums, ultimata for our Latin scholars. Tlaib and Omar have blasted Netanyahu and Trump and seem to be issuing an ultimatum of their own.
Well, we said yesterday, in fact, I think it was your words exactly that we said this will be a news cycle that's going to generate some stories for a while now. And yesterday, the two Democratic Republican Congresswoman Tlaib and Omar had held a press conference where they absolutely tore into Netanyahu, into Trump. They issued their ultimatum and they said the United States should suspend any aid to Israel until it gives the Palestinians full rights. Now, the mainstream media in America are coming under a lot of criticism for not explaining exactly who MIFTA are. MIFTA are the organization headed by Hanan Ashrawi. Hanan Ashrawi is no stranger to us who've followed the Middle East over the last, I'd say, probably about 20 years. Yes, I'm aging myself, people, I know. But Hanan Ashrawi has formed this organization. They have faced a severe amount of criticism for their support of suicide bombers, notably female suicide bombers, as well as the spreading of blood libels, like the medieval libel that we use blood of Christians to make matzah. So this is an element of the story which is not being brought out into the public. But you've got these two congresswomen who are now saying that Israel does not comply or is an incompatible, rather, as a U.S. ally and a democracy, and making the comparisons to apartheid South Africa, forgetting the fact that it is every country's democratic right to deny entry to anybody who could cause it any kind of harm. I don't think that if they use this rhetoric, if they were outside of the United States to come into the USA, that they would be allowed into any airport, let alone into the United States proper. So again, it's a case of Israel being held to a ridiculous standard and the full facts on the ground not being reported.
Yeah. And finally, Rolene, we've got a question here. And normally when there's a question in the headline, the answer is no, but let me not preempt. You've got, as the last article, is Israel facilitating the immigration of Palestinians from Gaza? We've seen articles about this earlier this week, even late last week. What is the real story?
Well, this is quite interesting because this story has been featured across multiple news sites. And just a little secret, which I'm going to give away about my process, is that I don't take news source from any one news source. I do my own analysis. I check out the news from the left to the right to everybody in between, and then I put myself to work putting these reports together. And this is one that has started to get a lot of traction and a lot of coverage across all major news sites today. And basically, an unnamed senior Israeli official has said that the Netanyahu government is actively encouraging Palestinian residents of the Gaza Strip to immigrate, and they're willing to foot the bill. I mean, as some of us making Aliyah would say, you know, well, can you add to our sal klita, because we could sure do with the help. And it gained a lot of coverage, mostly in the Hebrew media. And apparently the government has spoken to other countries about the possibility of taking in Gazans. And apparently about 35,000 Palestinians have left the Gaza Strip and relocated to other countries. Whether or not this is a result of this initiative or if it's a whole lot of hooey, but I think many are trying to get out, to get away from Hamas, I think for their own safety. There has been no report on whether or not Israel is doing this on humanitarian grounds or what the reason is, but apparently the National Security Council has been dealing with this for quite a while, and there are continuing talks with other countries in the Middle East and in Europe to try and absorb potential immigrants, but nobody has agreed. Which raises the question, guys. I mean, when we talk about two states, we say two states for two people, and then we get people like Talib and Omar saying, well, we should just absorb all the Palestinians. But why should, you know, but other countries don't want to. So isn't that a bit of a double standard, just saying?
Rolene Marks, thank you so much as always. We're going to have to let you go now and go straight into the news. But before I forget, something for tomorrow. One of our, we've got a telegram from Austin Gibbs saying, hi guys, please tell Rolene we're waiting for a recipe for that amazing dish you made for dinner last night. Rolene, if I don't remember, please remember, and we can get Austin to listen in again tomorrow when you give that recipe.
Okay, as soon as I remember how I made my dinner last night, I will be posting it to Facebook.
Wonderful. So look out for that on our Facebook page or on Rolene's Facebook page, Austin. Rolene Marks, thank you very much. Same time tomorrow.